have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness from my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
Looking to refresh your closet, home, or beauty routine this spring? Walmart's got all the stylish goods in one stop. From chic new looks and the latest makeup to quality furniture and tableware. Go to walmart.com/nowtrending. That's walmart.com/nowtrending for the hottest fashion, home, and beauty finds. Your style at Walmart.
Sweeten your business purchases with American Express Blue Business Cash, the card that makes everyday expenses extra rewarding. You'll earn 2% cash back on your first $50,000 in purchases per year, and then 1% after that, so you can treat your bottom line and give your business a helpful boost. Swipe after swipe. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/bluebusinesscash. Amex Blue Business Cash. Built for business by American Express.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All in one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Regular gum is boring, but Icebreaker's ice cubes are different. They're fancy. Icebreaker's gum has flavor crystals, which deliver a rush of cool, refreshing flavor. Plus, they are delightfully cube-shaped, making them soft and satisfying to chew. Icebreaker's ice cubes gum. Ooh, fancy. Pick up your favorite flavor today.
Six Feet Under, Season 2, Episode 9, Someone Else's Eyes is over, but we are just getting started here talking about it on post-show recaps. That's right, it's the 6 Feet Under Rewatch Podcast. My name is Ariel, and as always, we are talking about the latest episode in Season 2 that we have yet to cover, and I'm joined by my co-host. It's Amanda. What's up, Amanda? Can you take this picture of me? I'm gonna take my mic off.
Uh-huh.
And then you're just gonna take a picture of whatever you see, and I'm gonna turn around and look all dainty.
Wow. Yes. I mean, gosh, Ariel, if you could only see yourself through my eyes, I feel like that's the perspective you really need. I would be so honored to do that for you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Here we are, Ariel, back again.
Wow.
Deep into season two. Like, season two is just flying by.
It's a crater at this point. It's so deep.
It's like the surface of the moon. Craters on the surface of the moon. We're in it. Things are happening. We have special guests left and right, you know, showing up with big reveals. Another exciting episode of 6 Feet Under.
Some bombshells for sure. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just talking about Claire with her straightened hair looking all, I don't know. I feel like there's no way to say this that it doesn't somehow weirdly sound bad, but she looks older, like more mature, mm-hmm, in a very like confident way with the hair that she, I guess it's really just that she straightens her hair, but I'm sure they put a lot of fancy product in it because it's TV.
Yes. No, there is no more reliable tell that a woman is trying to hook up than she has straightened her hair. Not in the entire world.
This is just science. This is what you spent.
I am a doctor.
At least one semester in your degree studies. Mm-hmm. You're like, hair and culture, and then parentheses straight hair specifically, are you DTF? That was the name of the class.
Yes, you can peruse at any local bookstore the titles, and you will find straightened hair, DTF, my one of my self-help books. Mm-hmm. In the psych section of any local bookstore.
Yeah, this is the different Charlotte Light and Dark.
Charlotte straight and wavy.
Straight and narrow. Besides Claire's great hair, how mm-hmm. did you feel about this episode overall?
I mean, this one was a big turn. I told you that I was really excited when we saw Lisa pop up earlier in the season and her character. I remembered that she was going to come back and play a larger role. And oh boy, she is back. And she is, 5 months gestational age larger at this point.
Physically larger role, yeah.
Physically larger role showing up in Nate's life. I didn't know that this was the scene where we get that reveal, but I love this. Like, I love the way that we're sort of seeing Nate as a character be put through all of these trials and dealing with his mortality, dealing with his commitment issues about marrying Brenda, and now throwing Lisa and this unborn child into the mix. We get more Billy. Everyone knows I'm a big Billy fan. We even have a little bit of Nate Sr. in this episode. I thought that this was a fun episode, another good episode. Not like top tier for me, maybe like second tier. We can talk a little bit about Carla's reemergence back in the scene. I don't love that the only Black woman in 6 Feet Under is a woman struggling with addiction and being a not so great parent. That, I think, is something that's aged very poorly about the show in terms of its lack of representation.
Right.
But a lot of other really interesting things here that I'm looking forward to getting into with you.
Yeah, agreed about Carla. I think it's interesting to see like Keith going through some stuff. We'll get into that family history wise, because it's just like another layer of like familial dynamics that we get on the show, full of them. But I agree with you also, it's not like top tier for me, but like really solid, and I mean that as positively as you can. It's a solid episode. I like being solid. If you're consistently solid, that's like better than
Being gaseous.
Gaseous. Better than being liquid. You don't want to be sublimating all over the place. That's crazy. Oh. Nobody does that. Okay. So we're going to get into our, speaking of science, we're going to get into our quick plot recap, which is a kind of science that Jess has perfected. This episode, episode 9, Someone Else's Eyes, written by Alan Ball himself, directed by Michael Cuesta. Here we go. 6 Feet Under loves a bait and switch. I agree with that. We start the episode watching two construction workers talking about depression on some girders. I'm learning that's what they're called. Thinking one of them is bound to die. Instead, one guy drops his lunch pail with the crappy lunch that he didn't even like that his wife made and kills a man walking below. Poor Dwight Edgar Garrison. This is like my mother's worst nightmare. Wow. If there's like anything that my mom consistently warns me about, it's like walking under those huge cranes and construction sites in general.
Yeah.
Scaffolding is your friend, even though it's ugly and gross. Okay, Billy talks about being unable to see himself and that to truly see oneself, as Amanda said, you have to look through someone else's eyes. In a literal way, he wants to see the scar on his back and enlist Claire to take photos of it while he just casually stands nude. Here we go. Quote Jess. Bro, you literally could have just taken off your shirt instead of being nude in front of Teen Claire, but okay. Close parentheses. I don't disagree. Turns out Claire is a really good photographer. Ah, Claire Artiste.
Oh my goodness.
Meanwhile, David sees Keith as an angel who is suffering from a serious case of PTSD. We literally saw it last episode, right? Like the angelic halo. But Keith treats David like a yo-yo, pushing him away, kind of testing him, and then yoinking him back when David is being supportive, also for a lot of sex. Keith not only has PTSD, clearly, but he's also trying to help with his sister Carla, who we've already mentioned, who's back in town and still struggling big time in this episode. Meanwhile, Nikolai would prefer to see himself how Ruth sees him, but the reality is he owes money to the Russian mafia, and his flower shop is suffering as a result, including in addition to his feet. His legs, really. It's the whole leg. Ruth's bank account and patients are wearing thin as she takes care of Nikolai. I agree. And now, meanwhile, Brenda and Nate are messier than ever. Lisa is back. Oh my God, Amanda, that's crazy.
Wow.
I didn't even watch this episode. And guess what? She's 5 months pregnant with Nate's baby. Yikes. She finds out that Nate and Brenda are engaged, and that's when she decides to rip the Band-Aid and also rip Nate a new one by unleashing her baby bump from under her... what'd you call that? That was like a big trench coat.
Yeah.
Like a flannel one though. Mm-hmm. She calls him a coward for never admitting his feelings for her, which clearly that's the last thing that he has for her is feelings, unfortunately. Brenda, meanwhile, grapples with the news that Billy thinks Brenda was partially responsible, at least, for screwing him up, in his life and, you know, taking care of him and kind of feeling the weight of that. She gets over it by getting under someone else, and both of them are so consumed in their own stuff that they don't lean on each other in a way that's supportive. Siblings should, I would argue, they've had enough of each other, and I think Billy agrees. that's the episode. Where should we start? Do you want me to take pictures of you? I'm just going to keep asking you. I'm just going to keep asking you what you want.
Let's start with our budding artiste and photographer, Claire. We definitely get more of the backstory about what's been going on with Claire and Billy. It seems like they've been in correspondence quite a bit during the time that Billy was hospitalized. He wasn't in touch with Brenda at all. He says that nobody else kept in touch with him. And we have this scene where Billy and Claire, with her, you know, with her newly straightened hair, are hanging out by the fireplace in Margaret Chenoweth's apartment. She's away on some quit smoking cruise. So Billy has the place to himself and invites Claire over to drink wine and sit by the fire. Little baby 18-year-old Claire, barely 18.
Yeah, not 17.
She's
18
barely,
now.
Barely legal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the writers are 18 now. 18, okay.
So anything that happens from this point on, we're not pervs.
This is just how it goes. Society decided, not us. Okay. It is really interesting to watch, to your point. It's not his apartment. Mm-hmm. It's almost like they are playing house in a way, or playing these roles, right? He looks so mature in that environment with the lights down and drinking the wine. And so does she. She's kind of dressed to match that. And I just thought it was this very interesting, almost vignette that we get of some version of reality where they are together and this is what they do. It's kind of weird.
It would be one thing if they were truly age peers. Of course, there's a lot of these our parents are away and we're 17, mm-hmm. 18 years old, and we're going to pretend that we're grown-ups and light a fire and drink wine and talk about literature. But Billy really is an adult. And I did find in this scene that the maturity difference, maybe it's the haircut, Ariel, maybe it's the fact that Billy has this, cropped look now. But this was the scene where I did really feel Claire sounds like a teenager when she talks to him.
Yeah.
And he sounds more like a grown-up. And I think he's supposed to be in his late 20s. I think that there's supposed to be something like a 10-year age difference between them.
Yeah, at least.
But he's asking, have you heard from Gabe? And she's just as if, total loser. I mean, that's not exactly what she said. But
that was almost too easy for you to slip into that. Oh my God, that was incredible.
There is something that's still very young about her. Yes. And and I did think that this scene kind of brings out this contrast. And this is when Billy invites her to do this favor, which is view me in my full nudity.
Yeah, it's really interesting the way, like, we already said this, but, like, she's so quick to mention her age. Like, that also feels like a thing a young person does, right? It's like, yeah. No, I'm actually this age. I'm not that.
No, I'm not 41. I'm actually 42. Right?
I'm actually 42. How dare you? And the way, you know, and to that point, the way she kind of carries herself through a lot of the episode, like, you know, some of the interactions with her mom, it's like, and obviously that's kind of historically challenged already, but the way that she's like lying about stuff and then kind of owns up to it. And it's just, there's something really interesting to watch her be like on the cusp almost of adulthood, right?
Which yeah.
you feel like when you're that age,
yeah,
but you also only have the life experience that you have, so you can't help but act your age sometimes, even as, you know, intelligent and precocious as Claire has been. It's like she's playing dress up, right? Like they seem to be in the scene.
Right. And you know, Nate is not thrilled about any of this.
Like Nate has a lot to deal with right now.
He's got a lot on his plate, this poor guy. So he's worried about Claire as she's leaving. They like have this confrontation and he's like, well, you know, he's dangerous. Like, are you armed in case he tries to stab you? And I loved Claire's comeback here. Like, he has a disease. He went through a period when he wasn't taking his medication because he was effed up and in denial about it. Sound familiar?
Got him.
Who else has a disease who's not taking care of himself?
The defense rests.
Yeah. What did you think about the photo shoot scene? Did you see where this was going when Billy wanted a favor?
No, I actually thought in the moment watching it, I was like, I thought that he had put together like some kind of new gallery show and he was going to make her go through the show like in some kind of weird order and it was going to reveal something stupid, frankly, and like way like interesting from an art
genius,
perspective.
Ariel.
Right,
Billy
exactly. Interesting
genius.
From an art perspective, but like as far as the plot and their relationship, I thought it was kind of going to be not as important. And then this happens and I'm like, wait a minute. What's happening? Oh, this thing? Oh no, now he's naked. Like it was just what I really appreciated about it was, and this is like a Billy thing, I think overall right now in his current how would you say, perhaps mental state that he finds himself in, is he's very honest and very much trying to keep this like even keeled energy. And even if that means, you know, saying something like nasty to Brenda when he doesn't mean, like he's not being combative. Mm-hmm. And here with Claire, when it like gets so intense, he's very quickly able to say, oh God, that's like, even through his tears, he's like, this is really intense. You can leave if you want. And not like that she needed his permission, but that very normal social thing of like, can I leave right the second in the middle of this thing if I wanted to? Because it did feel, to this point that we were talking about of like the age difference, it felt so intense. It got so intense so quickly that like, this is too real and this is too intimate. Besides the fact that he's new, this is too like emotionally intimate for these two people who aren't really that close. They're just like AIM friends.
They're just AIM friends. It sounds like they're on AIM a lot, talking about whether or not Britney Spears is a virgin and all of the fun things that we were talking about in 2001. Yeah. That could have been my AIM transfer, Ariel. It could have been us. But like, I was wondering, like I had a lot of questions about this whole scene. So like, what is Billy's intention here? Like ostensibly he's inviting her over because he wants to get these photos taken. He wants to see his scar. This is where we get the title of the episode. You know, he wants to see himself through somebody else's eyes. You can't really see yourself. Like his self-portraits are always so contrived. Brenda, you know, he's seen things through Brenda's eyes, but she sees things too darkly. So he's like working out, wanting to see himself like in a different way. He talks about Narcissus, how everybody thinks that he's so in love with himself, but he actually hates himself. And it's without that reflection looking back at him, he's afraid that he won't exist. So Billy is like opening up and being vulnerable. And this is when he starts to have his like his kind of breakdown, when he begins crying and Claire asks if he's okay. He turns around giving her like the full frontal view of everything. And, you know, and that's when he says, you know, I'm sorry, this is intense. You can go. I loved that Claire just like leaves. She immediately leaves.
Like, good.
She's just like, she doesn't even need to exchange anything. She's just like, that's all the cue she needed to get the heck out of there. Good for you, Claire. But Billy seemed to like be composed like very quickly after Claire left, which made me wonder like how much of this is part of a seduction or a manipulation. Like, is he really just, oh, I just needed somebody to take pictures of me, and like timers haven't been invented yet or whatever. Like,
yeah, he wears his ring light.
Go on Craigslist, Billy. Like, you know. Like how much of this is about like, I need somebody to do me a favor, Claire, will you do it? And then he gets kind of wrapped up in emotion in the moment. And how much of this is a contrived situation where he's trying to manipulate Claire? I definitely wondered about that and still do.
Yeah, I think it's a very nuanced like relationship and encounter. Because I agree with your assessing of it. Like, I think, and I'm not too clear myself, but I think it is clear that they have this connection, right? Like, he didn't hit her up out of the blue. They've been communicating for a while. So he does feel, you could argue, he feels comfortable being more vulnerable with her than literally anybody else, seemingly, at least right now, compared to his family, you know, his mom, his sister, whatever. But there is also the side of like, you know, what this whatever flirtation, let's call it, that they had kind of dabbled in the first time around. So this isn't just like, you know, hitting up someone out of the blue. This is like someone who you already had like romantic encounters with. And now,
but that was also kind of a manipulation. Like, that was
for sure. And I do think, and the reason I bring it up is because I do think that he is being way more sincere now than he was then, because then it seemed to be much more about like Brenda and the Nate of it all, and like trying to like gain control. This is like him a little bit more trying to regain control of himself in a weird way. And I don't like, I agree with you that it didn't have to be Claire. It could have been so many people, other people maybe that we don't even know, but it's like, it didn't need to be Claire, but like,
because
maybe he respects her artistic way of seeing the world. It's not great. I do think that it's complicated at best. And he's like, yeah, I guess the fact that he didn't even know she was 18 is like many minus points.
What you don't know now is you're going to be 18 forever.
I am so happy, because I thought that I had surpassed that age, and I'm still 18. This is amazing. I don't need to buy cigarettes. I don't need them. I only need to buy them when I'm in Europe, because they taste better there. Brenda's mom would agree with me. Okay.
Wow. Do you think that's where, why she went on that quit smoking cruise?
She needed to go get me French cigarettes.
Yeah. What the heck does this mean that you're going to be 18 forever?
I was like, does he mean mentally? Cause like, that's not, the physics aren't physicsing.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't think I'll take it. I wouldn't take any of it. Not the physical, not the mental. We can leave 18 where it was.
Where it was. 2 years in the past.
In the past where it belongs. In those just few 3 to 5 years in the past. No, I had no idea where he was coming from with this. But anyway, let's back up like a little bit to what Billy is bringing to the table here. Cause we have a very interesting meeting, dinner with Brenda and Billy. where Brenda has him over and they're going to hash out like some of their past and why Billy wasn't so in touch with her during his time in the hospital.
Yeah. And there's a much less interesting version of this scene where they're just like shouting at each other again. And this is, like I was saying before, this is a more muted, subdued Billy who's saying everything that he wants to say and trying to be honest, but still trying to seemingly, at least from my estimation, trying to be like sensitive to Brenda's emotions and just like relaying information. He doesn't really like blame her completely. He's just like, look, our relationship wasn't great. I think they know it. Everybody who's watching the show knows it. Mm-hmm. Like, we can all see what he's talking about. And this actually feels like a little bit of progress in the sense of like, let's call attention to the thing that's the problem. The problem is the way that we relate to each other, our relationship, the way you've had to take care of me or not take care of me, or, you know, be all in or all out, like that being its own kind of unhealthy. And then like the weird like undertones of romantic stuff that we picked up on, especially early on in season one, and like that being kind of a crutch for them and to not have like real romantic emotional attachment to, you know, a stranger. Mm-hmm. I actually think like Billy comes out, not that I want to like pick sides between siblings, but like Billy comes out like the more mature one in this conversation. Am I crazy?
Sorry
to use the word crazy. So in such a charged.
That was triggering. No lies were detected here in anything that Billy said at all. Like, he's making a lot of good points. I have to say he's a little bit incendiary when Brenda tells him about Nate's condition and he says, well, now I know why you're marrying him. That kind of like jab is like not the most productive way to start this conversation.
They're still siblings. They're still siblings. Yes.
But, you know, the things that he says is that, you know, the psychiatrist is telling him that, you know, Brenda has contributed to his pathology. He never learned how to take care of himself. He's never had a real girlfriend. They should disengage from each other because their relationship is very toxic. And I can completely understand how Brenda, hearing this after her brother has tried to maim her and charged at, like, the last time he was at her apartment, he charged at her with a knife. So for him to come back these months later and say, like, actually you're part of the problem, like, I would be livid as well if I was in her position.
Yeah, that's a rough comparison. The juxtaposition of the last time he was there. Yeah, I had totally, not that I had forgotten about the incident, but I had forgotten about like the context of where we're sitting now or where they're sitting. It's not great. And emotionally, even though she's not mature enough to confront anything seemingly in her life, her body and her emotions can sense things. And obviously there's
Become energy. She's become nature, Ariel.
I'm going to explode into a ball of energy from frustration listening to her talk. What's going to happen?
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All in one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Regular gum is boring, but Icebreakers ice cubes are different. They're fancy. Icebreakers gum has flavor crystals, which deliver a rush of cool, refreshing flavor. Plus, they are delightfully cube-shaped, making them soft and satisfying to chew. Icebreakers ice cubes gum. Ooh, fancy. Pick up your favorite flavor today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Beyond Natural Pet Food. Beyond Pet Food helps me care for what matters, my pets and my world. They help me nourish my pets with high-quality natural ingredients like wild-caught salmon and organic free-range chicken. Beyond also has responsible sourcing practices and a long-term partnership with the Nature Conservancy. Beyond Pet Food, your pet, your world. Learn more at beyondpetfood.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I mean, so I think that Billy like basically does like you know, maybe like a B minus job here, maybe a C plus, like is a little bit more fair of like bringing up to Brenda that their relationship dynamic is problematic and that both of them probably need to establish some kind of healthy functioning independently before they can try to come back and establish a new, healthier, more sustainable relationship dynamic. But Brenda is just not ready to hear this right now. She's going to get, you know, she would, and then to add insult to injury, Billy's just like, yeah, and I actually have to go because I have somewhere else to be.
Yeah, thanks for the grub. I have to go like emotionally manipulate your fiance's sister, I guess. It's, you know, A plus for him just as far as specifically establishing boundaries. Like, no, he's the first one in this relationship seemingly to say those words. So good for him, even though I agree there, you know, he could have perhaps gotten there a little differently. But 0 points to Brenda, who never wanted to do that or, you know, wanted to in her own way, but didn't know how to communicate that. I think that Nate, I just want to go back to Nate and Billy really quick, because I don't know that I said much about their interaction, their first interaction where Brenda still in the previous episode where Brenda like learns that Billy's back, and like the way that the show draws the comparison between Billy and Nate and what they're going through on like a chemical physical standpoint, and then like they double down on it in this episode when Claire, like you already said, Claire's like, you know, sound familiar when talking to Nate about Billy. I just think that's so fascinating, having Nate have to look at himself a different way. In the way he is so cavalierly and flippantly kind of dismissive of Billy, even though I, you know, understand him wanting to protect his sister in a way because she's, you know, 18 almost or barely. So I didn't want to forget to mention that. But Brenda, like you said, she's all energy because she's not doing anything else. She's not in this relationship. She's not really having any like constructive, you know, interactions with any of her loved ones. So she's just like chasing, I mean, at this point, chasing meaningless sex and trying to alleviate whatever it is that she's actually feeling with sexual acts, and then reliving the sexual acts both in the writing and the telling to Melissa.
Oh, yeah. And Melissa does not love this new function that she has been relegated to as like Brenda's like anonymous sexual encounter sounding board.
She's like, this is kind of whack. Like, you could tell this episode, like, she brings up therapy, which like Brenda did not want to hear that word. And this is not that Melissa already asked about Nate, and she's been asking like, oh, that's interesting that you're having sex with strangers. Or do you not want to marry your fiance? Like, what are you talking about?
That's something different. It has nothing to do with that. So Brenda's little adventure here, and this is like directly fueled by, you know, Billy leaves, and then she goes through her purse and has all of like the random numbers of guys that she's been collecting.
She's like, oh, I might as well go through these and sift them into different categories.
She's sorting them like Ruth did with the ribbons at Nikolai's flower shop.
Eat your heart out, sorting hat.
Yeah. So Brenda goes to this book reading, and the book reading is for this new self-help book, The End of Romance, which is, you know, very, very fitting. She peruses the different books on the shelf in the psych section. I Hate You, Don't Leave Me, which is a real book about borderline personality disorder, the disorder that Brenda has, which is very, very evident in the whole, like, her relationship with Billy. Like, as much as she has all this animosity towards him and and she commits him and she wants him, like, she wants this distance. The second that he wants distance from her is when she becomes very, very dependent and needy. So we see that book. We see Charlotte Light and Dark. We see a book, Nothing Means Anything, So Why Bother? Another book, Damaged Beyond Repair. And then finally, my favorite book, I Wish I Wrote It, Your Brother's a Wacko and Your Fiance is Going to Die.
Ugh, I've read it twice. It's as a crazy ending. Crazy ending. And it's not what you think.
Wow. Oh,
yeah, that bookstore. I have to say, this is probably the most boring that a British/Irish accent has ever sounded to me.
Oh, like, wow.
There's such an impressive feat that the show pulls off in this moment. I have never been less engaged with someone reading any text ever. And I used to be an altar boy.
Ooh, that sounds like something we got to delve into at some point, Ariel. But we don't have time today. Not today, because today's topic is the lie of romance, the illusion that keeps us from ever being complete in and of ourselves and leads us to despise our flaws, our humanity. Brenda is going to have sex with this author in the bathroom at the bookshelf, at the bookstore.
Yeah, and that floor looked disgusting, and I'm glad that the show treated their encounter as kind of ridiculous and maybe not silly, but certainly just insignificant. And give me the montage of the sex and let's move on, please. Because like I said, this man is not inspiring much. Like, I think usually...
Oh, he inspired a lot, though.
I was going to say, yeah, like, she was giving major eye contact. Like, that was like some serious eye contact. And I think he looked and felt much more alive when he was looking at her than he was reading his shitty book.
Most of these randos that Brenda ends up, like, having sexual encounters with or fantasizing about, like, are not very impressive to me. Like, there was, like, thick necked version of Nate at the women's clothing store.
Where are the sideburns?
Like, puffier nose, Nate, I think, maybe. It was so in the retelling to Melissa, Brenda describes it as, you know how guys who go to war talk.
Brenda, let me stop you right there. That is not how this goes.
She was becoming energy, becoming nature, and then she came home and wrote 12 pages without stopping.
Oh my God. And she looks like she needed a cigarette after she wrote those pages, because it sounds like those pages were way more fun to write than the sexual encounter itself.
I have to say. I think the one thing that Brenda was missing there is that she was also becoming insufferable.
I'm becoming energy. I'm becoming insufferable. It's my final form.
Her final. Oh, it's like a Pokemon evolution. Yeah.
I choose you, insufferable. Oh my God. It's just Brenda. that's so funny. Melissa, run. Like, in the way that Claire ran earlier, like, just run.
Yes, get out of there. Yeah, Melissa is, you know, is so over this. Brenda actually muses, what if I'm losing my shit? What if this is the beginning of some mental illness? And then Melissa's like,
Melissa's like, I don't know.
Yeah, like, I think so. Possibly.
She brings up the therapist, and not to make like a disrespectful joke, but Melissa looks like she should be getting paid for her time, because this is not fun for her, and she's starting to feel it. Like, oh, now this is just, she's just having me over to drink and tell me about her cheating on her fiance and then writing a book about me? I don't know. I don't know. I think Melissa deserves better. She deserves a better friend than Brenda.
I know. Everyone in Brenda's life deserves better. Where should we go next, Ariel?
Well, we talked about Brenda. We talked about Claire. Should we get back to Nate later? Or should we address the baby elephant in the room
Let's talk about Nate in this episode. A lot of stuff going on with Nate. Like, the episode starts with Nate and Brenda, like, looking at a possible wedding venue, mm-hmm. surrounded by horse shit.
Romantic. I can smell it from here. It's like Central Park, but on the beach. That's got to be cheap, right? I mean, I know weddings are probably way more expensive now than they were back then, but that venue doesn't look expensive. Who do I have to talk to? The mayor?
Nate wants to have the hot rabbi officiate.
This is crazy. This is like this is one of the most Brenda-ish things that he has ever said. When he's like, oh, we should hire that rabbi. The one that you were going to have sex with? What the hell? This is, yeah. And still, speaking of Brenda, still, this is like nowhere near as bad as like anything that Brenda has done.
I like how Nate's like, well, you're half Jewish. And Brenda's like, I'm also half Catholic. Should we invite the Pope?
So narcissist of her to be like, the Pope himself would come to my wedding.
Yeah. So Nate is like, the big thing, we'll get to the Lisa reveal, which we've already talked about, but the funeral that they're dealing with this week is like, there's a big battle between the deceased's wife and his daughters, who are daughters of a previous marriage. And it mm-hmm. seems like he had set things up so he was going to be married with his first wife, his late wife. And they, and these three women do not like each other, and there's a lot of contention here, mm-hmm. and like Daddy Nate like pulls this. I wonder, like, this is just such a fascinating aspect of Nate's character. Like, mm-hmm. while they're fighting, he all of a sudden throws a fit and yells at them and tells mm-hmm. everyone to shut the F up. It's not your choice. Mm-hmm. Like, if you love him, you'll give him what he wanted. A man died. Show some effing respect.
Yeah, this is the Nate that I like. Not the fact that he's yelling at his clients, but the fact that he's like being more assertive and taking like a mm-hmm. an active role in his life in this moment. You know, perhaps a little tough, but tough love is clearly what they needed, I think, in the end. And also, yeah, I don't want to hear from any of your lawyers, because this man literally signed this document. So, like, we can't, like, the amount of gymnastics legally that they would have to do to, like, change something on this form mm-hmm. is ridiculous and, frankly, too expensive. And it doesn't seem like fake Cindy Crawford has any interest in, like, wasting all that money. Mm-hmm. And even though she's accused of being a gold digger, how dare she?
It sounds like she had her own source of income. If there are naked pictures of her on the internet, yes. I'm sure. Oh,
my son showed me. I like this from Nate. This feels a little more like season one Nate, where he was like, trying to like help the, almost like a case of the week, right? With the deceased, like, he's trying to help and give the comfort to the family.
Like,
some kind of comfort, but more importantly, give them something that they needed. In this case, tough love, some understanding, some context, whatever, a hug perhaps. This Nate has the sideburns mm-hmm. personally to go with the physical ones, personality wise. He's done with not being an active participant, and he wants to be more active in his life, perhaps. I hope for him.
Yeah, I do also find it always really endearing when like Nate like loses his shit and gets really stern with people. This approach seems to have like a 100% success rate. Like, every time Nate does this, it goes over so well. Like, I can't imagine in real life somebody who behaved this way would still have a job. But This always works, and it's always, and I love, like, David always has like a little smirk when this happens, because he's like, I wish I could say that. My brother is so cool.
I love it. It's such a like wonderful tiny little window into their like sibling dynamic. And you know what? Apparently Nate's about to be a dad, so he needs to practice using his stern voice.
He needs to use his daddy voice. Yeah. Yeah. So this is like a big swerve. He runs into Lisa at the, is this like a Whole Foods, do we think?
I would imagine it's got, there's some organic produce in there, because Lisa would not be in there.
No, otherwise. This is bigger than a Trader Joe's, I thought. Possibly a Whole Foods. I don't know what the state of Whole Foods was in 2001. But, you know, Nate's shopping there. We run into Lisa. Oh my God, can you believe it? She finally sold out and moved there right after Christmas. She's going to be the chef, the vegan chef for this film director. And she didn't want to bother Nate because he has a whole new life. But Nate's like, are you kidding? Let's go to the juice bar. Lisa loves a juice bar.
He said juice bar and she like almost burst into tears. She was so happy to hear it. She's like, oh my God, a juice bar. Thank you. I was looking for one.
And, you know, here he shares the news that he and Brenda are engaged. And I love how Lisa is like teetering on the edge of like, she's being like super friendly, like, and then that energy, that manic energy just turns into like thinly veiled rage, you know, where she says like, you know, don't you remember 5 months pregnant, like when you came to Seattle and effed me, like, does that ring any bells?
And the way she kind of like slowly starts to like open her coat before she like fully reveals it.
Yes.
When like the manic energy is coming through, she's like, oh my God, do I have a wedding present for you?
Wow.
It's so interesting. This was one of those occasions where I was like, wait, is she imagining this? Like, how much of this is actually happening? Because the level of like vitriol, frankly. And then we find out that this has happened before. She's like, this isn't going to be like last time. I'm actually having the baby this time. So he has already impregnated her. Seemingly that child is not around. And it sounds like she didn't have it. And now she's like, well, I'm having this one. Which is like, oh my God, that's such a threat. But like, this is clearly a person who's been through a lot with Nate.
Yes.
Unfortunately, you know, Nate has not been he claimed to Claire that he's always been upfront with her, but clearly that isn't the case, because here he could have said, well, I did tell you that night of like, no, but there was no such conversation. And also, I wasn't sure if he had told Lisa that night, because we weren't, you know, the camera wasn't around the whole time. I wasn't sure if he had told Lisa about his condition. And we quickly find out that he didn't, because her approach might have been different had he done that. But ultimately, this is the way that he also, this was so funny, the way that he like starts to do the math in his head, and he's
First he's like, oh, I'm sensing this manic
energy. Yeah, it's like, no, oh, that's so great for you. Like, he doesn't know how to do math as well as most of the viewers, perhaps.
Yeah, and it's interesting, like, we do point out how, like, you know, Nate is a butthead, but he's sort of our lovable butthead, and we point out all these things he's doing really well, and we've had like Nate as this foil against Brenda, who is the worst, who's unfaithful, who's like all of these things, who's not emotionally mature, who's like very tough and withholding also in terms of giving love. And you put Nate against Brenda, and his actions don't seem that bad. But if you take Nate and like put him against Lisa, who's like very loving and nurturing and can like be a doormat and let Nate get away from things, and we get away with things, and we find out that this is the second time that she's got pregnant, and that he might have encouraged her to do something that she didn't really want to do, and now she's having the baby, and like, it just, this is a bad look for Nate.
Yeah, it's not a great look. And I think there are probably dozens of women in Seattle who would agree.
Dozens of women, yeah.
That this is disrespectful. He probably gets smacked a lot at this market, not just at the juice bar, getting smacked with the news.
Just wreaking havoc all over the organic produce aisles, women falling left and right.
All over the Pacific Northwest down to California. It sucks to find out this way, but also, again, it's really funny that she's like, I was holding this in. Like, she has made a whole life. Like, what was best case scenario for her, right? Like, she happens to run into him there. I don't think it's, like, Billy-ish in some way where she was, like, stalking him. Although, I'm sure she thought, you know, at some point she could run into him. But, and it seems like at some point she did want to tell him. She wasn't sure when. But, like, when – maybe she was just putting it off. I don't know. Like, what was her – and it's sad because she took the job because she needed the money.
Right.
Because of the kid, and that puts her closer to Nate. Like, would she have even told him if she didn't run into him? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, maybe I'm – I mean, I think that there's probably part of her that wanted him to know and probably still fantasizes that, like, he would see what had happened and say, like, oh my gosh, of course I need to be with you, because it does seem like her demeanor turns when she finds out that he's engaged to Brenda. And I'm sure that, like, he had previously thought, like, there's no way that Nate is going to still be in this relationship with this woman, knowing what I know of him. That's so I think that probably makes this worse. But I also think that she didn't come to LA to, like, chase Nate. I do think that the fact that this was, like, a job and she has this kid and knows that she needs that she's going to need to support them was probably the driver. But I definitely think that somewhere, like, buried in her psyche is this ulterior motive of her and Nate ending up together. But I think she's legitimately mad that he left Seattle and never talked to her again, like, didn't follow up.
Yeah. It meant nothing to you. And he's like, yeah, that was our entire relationship for years. What are you talking about? Nate being
Yikes.
The worst. Poor Lisa. Like, Nate, just leave this poor woman alone. Well, now it's too late, frankly, because if she's gonna have this baby, which it seems like she's fully intent on doing, you're probably gonna be bonded to her for the rest of your life, if only in your interactions, because Nate is not the kind of person, in my estimation, who's just going to be like, cool, have the kid, you don't need anything from me, bye. Like, you know, just
unless you're a total piece of shit, which it's still possible, but I think that he is going to be, like, you know, to some extent on the hook and connected to this person. You know, Nate is going to do what he does when he finds himself in one of these existential crises. He's going to seek the counsel of his late father, the late great Nate Senior.
Yeah, via his new motorcycle, which this time he wore a helmet. I'm sure
I have that in my note, with a helmet. I was very
and relieved. Goggles, that's good for your eye, the dryness of the
he
eye.
Still needs to see a doctor to make sure his seizures are controlled, because you do not want to have a seizure when you're operating a motor vehicle, but we're baby steps in the right direction.
Right. And speaking of seizures, we get the brutal impression that his father does of him having a seizure, which is, like, so on the one hand, like, funny, but in the worst possible way, and, like, so cruel from his dad.
Nate's, like, the Nate Junior impression of Nate Senior is, like, such a, like, a masochistic jerk, or sadist jerk. I'm sorry. Like, he's so awful. Like, he's funny, but he's so mean. And he says, like, you know, that you can't tell Brenda, you if you want to die alone, be my guest. He says, there's shit about me you never knew and never will know.
And his line read there, that's, like, one of my favorite Nate Senior lines ever up to this point. The way he says it there, like, kind of whispering it to his son, like, you don't know and you'll never know. It's like, damn, that's cruel. But also, to your point, this is, like, what Nate is imagining about his father. Like, he's the one that's kind of taking it there.
And it's really interesting, because you can see, like, Nate is, like, sort of grappling with, like, am I going to be the sort of man that I imagine that my father was, who had this secret life, who had this secret room, like maybe a secret family.
And there's a secret kid in the secret room. And you don't have to be there ever until the once a week where you want to visit them in the room. And Lisa will just feed the kid.
Yeah. Ugh. But Nate is terrified. Like, some of the insecurities that are expressed by Nate Sr. here are, you know, Brenda's just looking for a way out. You know, that if you tell her this, like, she knows that you're dying. Like, she's going to find any excuse to get out. And that's, like, a very fair concern. Like, he knows that he's already not the most attractive mate. And, oh, by the way, I'm having a child with another woman.
With another woman who you will probably hate. Like, thinking about Brenda and Lisa meeting in this moment when he's like considering his life, I was like, oh my God, I need the Brenda Lisa now. Give it to me now. This is so unfortunate. But you're right. He's considering, like, what options does he have as far as the life that he wants to have? And I think it's pretty clear that he doesn't want to have, like, two things. It's like the two conflicting things are, he doesn't want to lose Brenda, but he doesn't want to be this kind of person that you're describing of, like, having the secret life. So what does he do? He's going to, you know, go to this cliff and look for answers.
Yes, yes. And he has no idea that his fiance is having sex with every strange random man all around.
How much easier his life might be.
I know. There's a very simple solution to all of this, and it's for you to have an actual conversation with your fiance, but of course they don't.
Please stop attacking them.
He casually picks up the book and is just like, oh, you met this guy? And she's like the way that she just effortlessly
casually
just lie. Oh, like, no, I borrowed it from my mom. It's like, wow, Brenda.
It's not even without skipping a beat. It's like she's from the future and she foretold that this lie would be appropriate here. And that, like, that's what the timing that we're talking about. It's like milliseconds of calculation. It's insane.
It's amazing. She's a true gift.
This is the Olympics of lying. And Brenda gets the gold. Spoiler alert for this summer.
Okay, so I think we have Keith and David to talk about, and then we also have Nikolai and the Teletubbies.
Nikolai, he is like, what are they supposed to be?
Honestly, that killed me.
We have all had at some point.
He's like, I like it. Don't get me wrong. Right? I'm all in.
I'm human. I have, you know, I'm not like a robot. But what the hell are they? And what are the shapes? And what's the TV screen on the stomach? I still don't know.
He's so adorable. I loved how Ruth brings Nikolai his lunch and says, like, don't eat it too early.
Don't eat both sandwiches. I made you two sandwiches. Do not eat both sandwiches before noon. She knows her guy so well. It's like, don't eat the two sandwiches before noon. If he eats half a sandwich, like, every hour and a half, he could be golden. But instead, he eats both sandwiches seemingly right away. And then has to eat half of Rico's lunch and has
Rico.
The audacity to comment on the pork needing salt. And first of all, clearly, how dare you? You're not picking up on the subtlety of flavor that Vanessa is capable of.
Wow.
My read on the situation. But Rico is very sweet. I love Nikolai, like, yelling into the abyss. Anyone? Is anyone there? And he's like, I'm so bored. The way he says
so
that.
Funny.
And it's so cute to watch him and Rico share. Like,
he's very cute. Moments. I mean, Rico doesn't think it's cute. Rico's right. Just like, well, if you don't like the sandwich, you can give it to me because it is mine. I thought this was so funny. The eating his lunch before noon. My sister was in preschool with this boy. I'm going to dox him because, like, I know nothing of him, like, after age four, but his name was, like, Michael Ramos, and my sister couldn't say his last name. So she called him Michael Rainbows, and he would always eat his lunch early. And then he would, like, cry because he didn't have lunch anymore. Oh, so God. Whenever somebody in my family like eats their food early. We call it a Michael Rainbows. So, and I am somebody who struggles to get to noon before eating lunch. Like my ideal is like an 11:30 lunch. Like I am Michael Rainbows. Michael Rainbows is me.
I am the opposite of Michael Rainbows. I am Michael Darkness. I am eating at like 2 p.m. Like I love.
Yeah,
like
my husband is a late lunch guy.
I love like a late lunch. But also, can I introduce people to the idea of breakfast? It's this new shiny thing that you can like have and it can like sustain you. And especially if it has like, I don't know, complex carbs like it and multigrains, it will like sustain you for
is that like
maybe
your
protein
is that like your fancy pancakes, does that have like complex carbs and protein? You put peanut butter on that.
Peanut butter and syrup. Why do you have to choose? Do peanut butter and syrup, and if you put the blueberries in the pancakes, that's peanut butter and jelly. What? Hello, people. Let me open your eyes. It's called breakfast.
Teach us, Ariel. You need to start your own self-help group, like called the meal instead of the plan.
It's the meal, and I'm gonna hire Lisa because she doesn't appreciate my drug habits, so she's gonna keep me in check, you know, just like her current boss. Yeah, I would hire Lisa for sure, and I would say you can cook vegan, but you also have to make me non-vegan things.
There you go. But all of this is to say that Nikolai borrowed money from the mob because when he came to the States, the bank wouldn't lend him money to start a business. Yeah. Poor man was growing potatoes in a box on the roof.
How is he going to make his breakfast hash brown?
Oh, my God. I loved it when I've already mentioned it, but when Ruth said, when Nikolai accuses Ruth of being lazy and she says that she organized the ribbons, I was like, yes, that is a great job for Ruth.
Ruth is
gonna organize the F out of those ribbons. Never been so organized.
The ribbons have never shined. Like the pink was red and now it's pink. Like that's how dirty it was. She's cleaned the cash register. Like, this woman is trying to, she's not stealing money from Nikolai, unlike the mob, unlike the Russian mafia or whatever. She is trying to like earn her wages. I also have to call out like Robbie protecting Ruth a little, trying to protect Ruth a little bit when the gangster guy is like leaning over to her. He's like holding him, like, not my Ruth. She's my big sister.
Yeah.
She went to the plan with me.
Even though Ruth was so rude to Robbie last time when he came over for Aubergines, she was so rude to him, but Robbie is still very supportive. Good reality check from Robbie when Ruth says that she and Nikolai have never been closer. The intimacy has never been better.
He's not like, he's bedridden, yes. I've never felt closer to him. He can't even move without my help. I love it. Look, Munchausen's my proxy over here.
Yeah, yikes. Yikes.
Okay. Speaking of doormats.
Is this the happiest, sexiest couple of the year?
Oh my God. David on TV, like, I need this. I never want to live in my current reality. I only want to live in the universe where David is on TV with Keith for no good reason.
David's
and he's
fantasies.
Talking about the Palm Springs white party. Fell out of my effing chair.
David's fantasies are so funny. Like, I think that it's truly a stroke of genius in this show. Like, this character that they've created in David, where it's like every time he has one of these dumb fantasies, like, it's so sweet and believable and revealing and also so ridiculous and so funny.
They just make it work. And then like the way that the woman interviewed them could like not be any more interested in what he has to say. Like, this is like, I don't know, Brad Pitt speaking. Like, wow, that's crazy. How do you keep it together? How do you balance your life?
How are you so happy and so sexy at the same time?
Ay, ay, ay. But David is, I mean, he's happy, right? Because David's around, because Keith is around, but David has a lot of tumult going on in his life right now. And obviously we said it already. Keith has a lot going on between him denying that he has PTSD and everything going on with his sister and his niece. It's a lot for anyone. Like, both parts are a lot. What, you know, what happened at work and what's happening with his family. But now both things together around the same time, it's not ideal. And David is trying to be there, but also he will call Keith a bitch when he needs to. He will not miss an opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
Under his breath.
Yes. I think that there's like a lot of good signs in this relationship that like Keith seems to really like appreciate David being around. He wants David around. David wants nothing more than to be around Keith. So like it seems like things are going well. Like I am a little bit concerned that there's a dynamic developing where David will do anything and everything to support Keith and take care of Keith. And it's all about what Keith wants. Like we've talked about, is David a doormat before? And, you know, it's even as explicit in this episode as, you know, David says something to Keith about wanting him to take care of himself. And Keith says, well, that's what you're for, to take care of me. So like we're setting up this dynamic where it's like Keith is taking care of Carla and Taylor, and David is taking care of Keith,
right?
And nobody is taking care of David. He doesn't even have a dermatologist he can go to his face gets all torn up.
The dermatologist thing was so funny. When the girl, when the daughter was like, I have a dermatologist that I can recommend to you. Yeah, I was going to say that's so funny because no one is taking care of David, but also no one is taking care of themselves. Like, where is that in the process? The self-care. You have to build your own house before you let somebody else move in there with you. I think that it's very human and normal and completely believable that Keith would be like, I'm putting all of my energy everywhere else into my family, into keeping myself like semi-functional at work. And I have no energy left to like take care of myself. So I need you to do that for me. It's unfortunate. And it's kind of like unfair to put that on someone, especially when it's your romantic partner, let alone just like a family member. But that's where Keith finds himself. And that's what's working for him now. He's up and down with the emotions. And like, you never know. Is he kidding? Is he being mean to David? Is he messing around with David? Is he kissing him? Is he giving him like a weird rash? It's all of these things.
Yeah, but by the end of the episode, it looks like David is moving in with Keith and he has his Prevacid, he has his mouth guard, he has his, what kind of, his hypoallergenic.
It was a hypoallergenic, I forgot the material, barley, some kind of, bamboo or barley pillow. I was like, David, no. Like,
buckwheat?
I was with you
is
and then you
buckwheat
said,
pillow?
Buckwheat, yes, it was buckwheat. I was like, look. You've gone too far. Everything else I was fine with you, but the pillow.
Maybe
no.
In my complex carbohydrate pancakes with peanut butter.
You need buckwheat in the breakfast. It's going to help you stay full longer. But yeah, he's, even though David has no idea how they got there based on how the conversation was going, apparently he's moving in and he looks around. He's like, okay, my furniture is ugly, but I could see myself living here.
Yes. I think that takes us to the end of the episode, Ariel.
I have nothing else. I've given you everything.
You left it all on the field, Ariel, and I'm in awe. I'm in awe of the spectacle.
Thank you. I really hit a home run on that one. Yeah, that's it for me. I mean, Claire's hair looked great, and now I can't wait to see what happens next episode.
Yeah. Well, next week we will be back, and we'll be talking about episode 10 of season 2 called The Secret.
This sounds like another scam, like The Plan, The Secret.
Well, that was that book. Yeah. That was that. Maybe that's next to I Hate You, Don't Leave Me, and My Brother is a Wacko, and My Fiance is Going to Die. Yeah, so that's we'll be up talking about that next week. But what else do you have going on, Ariel?
Post Show Recaps is not dead yet. There's a lot going on around these parts. I'm covering movies every week with Grace. We have our Dune coverage coming up, Dune Part 2, the movie. We had to record a little late, but that's coming out shortly, also covering Masters of the Air with Philly. That's been actually like way better than it was in the beginning. I'm very pleasantly surprised. And, you know, doing this with you and, you know, it seems like at some point we're going to have to maybe double up on the penultimate episodes a little bit because there are like 4 episodes left and not that many weeks left in the month. So we'll figure that out, but we'll finish the season. Don't you worry. What about you?
I had the very distinct pleasure of guest appearing on New Girl, Old Guy, the podcast with Ali Lasher and Akiva Winokur, where they recap New Girl. I was joined them for their end of season coverage from The Jar. So we talked about one of the movies that features a New Girl, Old Guy cast member. We talked about They Came Together, which is the 2014 David Wayne comedy. Are you familiar with it, Ariel?
I made that face. This is going to brace yourself. This is going to pain you. I had the opportunity to see it on Valentine's Day. I had never seen it before. And I was going to go see it in theaters, but then something else came up that I couldn't miss. So I still haven't seen it.
Oh, well, I thought it was really fun. I loved it. I know
that's a movie that you love. I actually thought of you thought when I was like,
wow.
When I was like, I can't go see
it. Was it this Valentine's Day?
Yeah, it was this past one.
Wow.
And after all this time, like I love seeing a movie in theaters that I've never seen before and I missed it. It was only the one time.
Well, anyway, if you do end up watching it, Ariel, you can go ahead and listen to that companion coverage on NGOG, which is always a hoot. And other than that, I'm going to be doing a few things in this last month as we celebrate post-show recaps 10 years in operation. So stay tuned for all of that. And you can always keep up with me by following me on Twitter, where I am at Dr. Amanda R. And Ariel, you and I will be back next week talking about season 2, episode 10 of 6 Feet Under, The Secret. And until then, dear listeners, rest in peace.